Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of the Royal Watcher podcast, where today we're talking about the abdication of Queen Margaret II and the proclamation of King Frederick X of Denmark.
Yes, which all three of us, well, not you, Sad, sorry. Three people were lucky enough to be in the front row of.
Yes, you had a really good front row seat on such a historic day.
Well, there wasn't a seat, but go on.
Yeah. But it was amazing to be part of it.
Yes, I mean that was definitely a moment I will never forget. So, where should we start? Should we start what we did in the morning?
Yeah, we
Yes.
can briefly just take that. We met up for a coffee,
We did.
and then we did something very important. We went to Rosenborg Castle to show Sam the Danish crown jewels.
Which were spectacular. Yes, if you visit our social
And
medias, well, you can see all of our
we were all
videos.
alone. Yes.
We
We
were.
had the
Oh, wow.
whole treasury for ourselves, so that was amazing.
Was it? Then
That's a
it's unlike the British crown jewels, you're allowed to stand still in front of them and actually study them, and they're absolutely beautiful. So, because for those who don't know, the crown jewels in the Tower of London, you have to go on like a travelator and it's constantly moving. And you just, I get it, there's loads of people in there, but you don't get time to appreciate the
Yeah.
jewels.
No, not in the same way as in Denmark.
No.
And they were there, all of them, so they didn't take them out for any
No.
of the proclamation occasions for photo or something.
No, but
Yeah.
can I
Not yet.
ask you something, Casper? Maybe you know the chain of the Order of the Elephant that we saw at the
Yeah.
Treasury, is
Yes.
that the one used by the monarch when in full gala, or do they have another one?
I do believe that that is a historic piece hanging there, and that the chains needed will be given out to the persons, and they will be kept in the elephant stables behind the Queen Margrethe's mansion in Amalienborg, next to the where the royal staff is in the yellow mansion.
Is there a special chain and a special elephant that's reserved for the monarch, or do you just they keep the one they get from the
Yeah.
beginning?
I don't know if they shuffle between the change, but I do believe that the present King Frederick X has his grandfather's elephant and chain.
I
All
believe
right.
when I did my article on the elephant that there is the one of the crown jewels. That's the one from 1693,
Yeah.
and Queen Margaret has worn that along with the chain of the Danneborg. I believe her Ruby Jubilee. She
Yeah.
wore both of them, so she wore the historic one because that elephant has the largest diamonds, and so she
Yeah.
wore the chain. And then she wears the big star of both orders, which one is pearl and diamonds, and the other one is
Yeah,
just diamonds.
the ones we
Yes.
saw, the orders of them, the stars in full diamonds, that's the one we saw.
And so
Yeah.
that's the one she wears for the New Year's court and the galas. So I think one would assume that that is the chain reserved for the sovereign for special occasions, like Jacob is saying.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
I will look into that actually.
yeah. So that was a wonderful way to start the day off, seeing all the historical pieces. And then we made our way over to Christiansborg Palace, didn't we?
Yes,
So
and it was
on the
quite
way we were to.
it was quite amazing because as we were walking, we entered the big shopping street from the pedestrian area from the smaller streets. You could already tell that everyone was moving in the same
Direction,
direction.
and this was at about 11 o'clock, and it was like, oh,
yeah.
okay, it's not just
And
us.
we were buying some proviant on the way, and then my friend standing there, telling them were calling us. Okay, could you get here? Walk fast, run.
Sorry.
So we did.
So we
No, because
But
I
we got
thought
some
we would
peace.
have more time to kind of see more of Rosenborg and maybe go see the throne hall on the top floor because that's very spectacular with the silver lines.
Yes, but
You know
we.
that
We
we had a
really
mission. We had a mission that day, and we were going to fulfill it. Yeah. So then we got to Christiansborg at 11 o'clock. King Frederick wasn't due to be proclaimed until 3 p.m. So we had a fun couple of hours standing. A lot of standing. So much standing.
We were standing so tight, we could hardly get our phones out of the pocket. Yep. Or, and there we didn't have any, internet contact.
No.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi or 4G.
And but
that's a common occurrence. I've never been to, well, of course, I was to the coronation in London, me and Saad, and you, Sam, but in Denmark, at least, you always lose Wi-Fi at some moment of the during the time that you're waiting. And I don't know if
that's the opposite for me, actually, because in the UK, I always lost Wi-Fi, especially in close to Buckingham Palace on the big events. And then in Denmark, of the two events that we both attended, Jacob, I had a full Wi-Fi signal, so I thought that was a very kind of good thing about Denmark, that there's not that much of a crowd that you can have signal the entire time. But
well, I think on that particular day, there was such a crowd.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize, because obviously we were at the front, how many people actually turned up. And so
174,000 people were standing around the castle.
Oh my god.
And more than 300,000 in the area that day.
Well, I'll explain my escape later. And yeah, it definitely felt like 300,000. Yes. And do you know what was really, really strange? I was there the night before and there wasn't a person in the square. I put it on my Instagram. There wasn't a police officer. There wasn't a guard. There wasn't anyone, you know, just camping out. The Danes just do not do it like the British, which is probably more civilized. But yeah, it's amazing.
But the fun part is that when we didn't have any Wi-Fi, at some point, normally we stand there and follow what's going on live in the television. We can see, oh, now they lift and they're getting closer. But at some point, we actually got pictures in. But that's what's on our WhatsApp from you, said, and you were sitting in Pakistan. We couldn't yes. download the pictures, but we were standing in the middle of the action. So it was like a weird,
I think it's good to have someone who's not there as well, just send you live updates, because that's one of the things about royal watching live, is that you miss all the good content in the live feed. So while you're there in person, you miss everything else that's happening.
Yeah.
So it's good to have one person who's there all giving you updates the entire time.
Yeah.
But we saw so many beautiful flags that day. We saw, of course, Danish flags. We saw flags from the Faroe Island. We saw the Greenlandic flag. And we saw Australian flags.
Yeah.
And I think we saw the flag of Bornholm as well.
Yeah, as well, yeah. So it was quite funny.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And so when we got the notification that at 1:45, wasn't it, 1:45, that they were going to start driving down from Amalienborg?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And we were all waiting for that.
Start from that slide.
And then, yeah. And so first to go past in the car were the new King Frederick and Queen Mary. And I must admit, I saw Frederick. We were on the wrong side to see Mary.
Yeah.
And the children followed. So we were able to see the new Crown Prince, Christian. And I thought what was really funny to me was you knew they were coming because all of a sudden all the Danish flags went up in the air and everyone started
to cheer.
And
you can hear people cheering. Yes.
Yeah.
But we were standing on the side of the castle, close to the church, where they enter what's called the Prince Jørgen's courtyard. So we were like just a meter away from the cars when they came. And that's what I like here in Denmark, even though the police pushed us many times back. But we still were able to see them.
Yeah, we were very close. Very, very close indeed.
Yeah, we were close, but we did the same mistake that I've done so many times in Copenhagen, that we should have stood on the other side of the of the path that they were driving up.
Okay, in 30 years' time, when it's Christian's turn, we will try and remember that, Jacob.
Yeah.
But we will be in our wheelchair at the front.
They will be sitting.
So did the cars drive by slowly? Because it seemed so slow on the live feed. But
It was not that slow, actually.
I didn't think it was that slow, no.
No, it was quite fast, actually. And there was so many policemen in front of us. So, I mean, not to tempt anyone, I think they had a certain speed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, because I think on the live feed that I was following, so they're supposed to leave the castle at 1:35, and then Queen Margaret is supposed to leave at 1:37. But she left almost a minute or two before they came out of their palace.
Yeah.
And her carriage was already going, and they had to basically cut in front of her and drive faster because she's right on their heels.
Oh.
Yes.
So it was a bit of, I think, timing. It was off by a minute or two then, probably made them speed up a bit more.
Oh, possibly.
But I must say that compared to the other times that I've stood at almost in almost the same spot for other celebrations, the cars they usually go at the same speed. It was nothing different.
Oh, okay. Maybe they just sped up because they knew they were getting close to the entrance.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and then moving on, sort of a memory that will live with me forever was, again, the Danish flags went up. Everyone started cheering. And then the Royal Guard went past. And if you've never seen the Danish Royal Guards, they quite literally look like Nutcracker, the soldiers from the Nutcracker from your children's book. They were so, like, it was amazing. And all the horses were, covered in shells, and they looked beautiful. And then...
And it was the biggest amount of the soldiers guards that I've ever seen.
Yes, and they were just so magnificent. And obviously, horses are very high up, and so are the guards. So it was very much they were towering over us. And then
you notice how they were riding, these guards, that they're only riding with one hand because the right hand is on the sword?
I didn't notice that. I noticed that some of the horses were misbehaving, so I thought they were maybe holding on to.
And it was there was a little snow, and so it was icy. So it was must have been very challenging to ride that day.
Very challenging, yes.
On horseback, yeah.
And then, yes, and then, of course, like I say, the memory that I will always cherish, Queen Margareta went past in her carriage, and I completely understand why they used carriages back in the day, because it was something, it was something out of a fairy tale to see her, to see her go by.
If there had been sound to this photo, you would hear me and Sam sobbing.
Oh, God, yeah, we burst into tears. I couldn't help it. I'm dead on the inside. So the fact I started crying, I was like, oh my God.
But it's beautiful to see those old carriages still in use.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, and I think what it was to me personally, she was just like, she was smiling. And it wasn't like, no offense to Queen Elizabeth, but like, she was very reserved, and I understand. But Daisy was smiling like ear to ear, and she just looked so happy to be there.
And for those who are coming to Copenhagen as tourists at this Christiansborg Castle, that's also where they have the museum of the carriages that you can go and see.
Yes.
It's just a little bonus info.
Yes, but that was absolutely amazing. And then come 2 o'clock, the police started to let people in front of the square. And unfortunately, I didn't realize how bad I was with crowds. I also didn't realize how many people were behind us. So I'll have to, the remainder of the story will have to be told by Casper and Jacob.
but in general, I must say that they could have handled the opening up of the, the police barriers much better. Because they opened just a few meters, and I think it must have been hundreds of people, ourselves included, who were storming against that. And they must have realized it because they closed it really fast.
And then we got bad seats.
Really bad.
Then we had to be practical.
But as all that was going on, as I was walking backwards and you were walking forwards, we had the moment of abdication, which Sad might have to fill us in on, because obviously you can see this happening.
Yes, it was funny enough, they did not broadcast anything live, And they cut to this like stream of just the castle itself. So we couldn't see anything that was happening in the crowds. And there was no live footage of the abdication itself. So it took a few minutes. And then we got these three pictures. So the first one was of Queen Margarita abdicating, signed the document of abdication. And then I believe she signed two documents. Then she stood up, which you can see in the next picture. And she gestured for the new king to sit on her seat. There was a sweet moment of Christian handing her her cane. She looked sad, but I think it was such a moving moment for all of them. The new king was crying at points, and there was a lot of emotion, I think, in the entire ceremony, but very dignified and very short. I think she signed, she stood up, he sat down within less than 3 minutes, and you can see the next picture, she quietly just left without even another glance. It was overall a very short ceremony, and for like an end to a 52-year reign, it was very dignified.
Yes.
In the evening when we came home, of course, I had to sit there, and I had waterworks in my eyes. And I've been reading many places that many foreigners think that that was harsh and unpolite of the king, and why didn't the queen participate in the rest like they do in Holland? But this has never been done before. So this has been done in the way that Queen Margrethe wanted to be done.
Yes.
And she signified twice to him, take your seat, you are the king. So he sat down and she took her breath and she said, God save the king. And then she left the room with so much dignity. And I have to tell you, all the people I'm talking to in Denmark say this is the most beautiful moment of the whole coronation. Of course, there's the balcony ceremony, but this was so breathtaking. This was really, here in Denmark, we talk about it in a positive way. And the queen wasn't sad. She was
emotional.
That's the right word. She was moved, yeah. How did you see it, Jacob?
I must agree with you. I also felt it was very dignified. It was very moving, and that all of them, Queen Margrethe and King Frederick and Crown Prince Christian, they were all moved. And I was moved watching it. I don't see any negativity in the scene at all. And the queen, well, the former queen, she rightly moved to her son that your king, you're the one who's sitting down.
Yes. And you know, and that
one thing I noticed that is that during the whole, well, what was it, a minute, 2 minutes, Crown Prince Christian, he doesn't stop looking at his grandmother. And as she walked out of the door, he looked at her, and then he looked at his father, and he was instinctively almost getting up as she was leaving, because he has, you know, he's been brought up with his grandmother being queen, and now suddenly she's not.
Not the reigning, no,
not the reigning queen, so. It's
very poignant historical moment.
And I'm all about symbolism and things like that. And this was
very
with symbolism.
A little funny note to this abdication signing is that she has this silver in front of her, like they had in the old day for the ink and so. And she's using her favorite pen to sign the abdication paper with. It's a green plastic pen that costs almost $2.
Wow. Oh, I love
She loves to use these. And that's just Daisy.
Do you think that the pen will end up at Amalienborg Museum? Like the pencil her grandfather signed. What was it he signed? He had a special pen that he signed.
I think it wasn't it like a silver cross pen or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, but it could
be
he
signed the new constitution with or something.
Well, we'll have to go back and have a look. So the next stage of the day was going to be the balcony proclamation.
Yes.
This is the Danish Prime Minister. I don't know her name. I'm not going to butcher it. What is it? Thank you. Come on to the balcony and presented the new King Frederick to his people. This is very traditional because, as you know, the press has noted, Denmark doesn't have a coronation. No, it doesn't. We know. This is the traditional Danish coronation. Yeah. It's the
proclamation. She's doing the proclamation, yes.
Yes. And what's the exact words?
It's like Queen Margrethe, the second of Denmark, has abdicated. Long live His Majesty King Frederick the 10th. And she said three times.
Say it three times.
Normally, they used to do it four, you know, to each corner of the world. But since she's standing on a balcony, she said out to each corner in the middle.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was like six hurrahs that she did.
It came after. I will tell you about that in a moment. Okay. But she started her speech by thanking the old queen and then cheering the new king.
Ah.
And then she said, let's take nine hurrahs for the king.
Nine hurrahs? Oh, God.
Nine hurrahs. But that's usually what we do here in Denmark. And then there was silence in front of the castle. We were standing there. And suddenly everybody was just cheering, hurrah, hurrah. And we were standing there and you could feel the bouncing of the echo against the castle wall. You could feel it in our legs. It was like such a magical moment. For me, it was right there.
Crazy. Oh, okay.
It was very emotional.
Yes, it was. And it should be mentioned.
Then, of course, he took his glasses on and then he took his speech, the new king. He started also by saying a thank you to his mother. And then what's quite funny in the end, just before that, he told his new slogan or I don't know the English word, this
motto.
Yes. The way he was speaking is like... the way he's doing it, like when he's cheering at a football match and with you guys, you know, it was a little hip hop style. I don't know. That's what he's doing. He brings a normal magic into it. So it's not that stiff.
Oh, okay. So he was being more sort of, I don't think you can be informal when you're being proclaimed a king, but a little maybe, you know, human.
He's not that formal. Yeah. He's more human, casual. I would say. Yeah. Casual. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
So he came out and he read his speech, everyone hurrahed. And then he was joined by, first of all, Queen Mary, the new Queen Mary. Yes. She came out dressed in white. And there's some debates online saying she may have got a bigger cheer than the king. Was that true, gents?
She did. She got at least it sounded as she got a bigger cheer for us, or for me, who stood on the palace square. I mean, when the king came out on the balcony, it was like a jet motor, you know, a jet landing. The people were cheering so loud and so long. But when Mary, the queen, came out on the balcony to join him, the cheers were not much louder, but it was louder.
And you can see more of Mary's outfit in the next slide as well, and just the two of them.
She was wearing my favorite jewels. She's had years to wear them, and then she brings them out when she's the queen now. It's the Napoleonic Danish ruby set for those who are interested. So those jewels in her hair and her earrings and the brooch, they were interestingly present at Napoleon's coronation all those years ago, and now they're present at a Danish coronation.
It's very symbolic.
Very symbolic.
And also her standing in this white dress, like she is, of course, she's married to the crown prince that is now king, but she's like marrying Denmark. She's wearing white. Like it's, there's something with this color and this situation.
Someone was saying it was kind of a spin on, because white, well, I don't know about Scandinavia, but white used to be the color of mourning, but we're not mourning. So that's why she's worn the white. It's more of a celebration.
And then white is the color of party gowns in other countries. coronation gowns, and all like other queens, like Queen Matilde, I believe Letizia and Queen Camilla, all of them were kind of white on their coronation day or enthronement days. So it does kind of fit in with that theme.
Yeah. And the symbolic of the Danish colors that the two Danish queens were wearing the colors of the flag.
Yeah, and it's lovely. And obviously, not that we want to address it, but everyone was, you know, speculating about the state of their marriage before this happened. And I'm sorry. I mean, you guys were there. I, you know, from what I saw on the TV, I think they're very much in love. And I do not think that's a couple that's play acting.
And whatever they
you can see that you could see before they kissed that I don't know if someone from inside told them to kiss or something, but as they were looking at each other, it looked she was saying something, and it looked as if she was saying, "Should we kiss?" or something.
Yeah.
So it was her. It wasn't him. It was her.
Yeah, I think.
And the way they were holding the hands.
Oh, that's like, so symbolic. That. Oh, it was
we
so
could
symbolic.
See that from downstairs. It was, whoa.
Oh.
That really touched me.
Me too.
When they hold their hands together and look in the eyes and taking the cheers, it was
You're going to start me crying again, Casper. Stop it.
I'm sitting here with my Kleenex.
And then they
that was
were,
beautiful.
It was so beautiful. And then the lovely picture, they were joined by their four children. I believe Prince Christian got a little bit of a cheer too.
Yes, big cheer. Very big cheer.
Yeah.
And beautiful to see Isabella also in red, the Danish color, together with her mother. And she was, of course, wearing this brooch that she got from Queen Margrethe that used to belong to Alexandrine. So I look forward to see what Josephine will have one day.
Yeah, I've always thought,
didn't
if you look at pictures
that
of Josephine...
wearing a jade brooch?
A jade brooch?
Sorry, what?
Yeah, didn't she wear a small brooch with a J, the letter J?
Josephine?
Yes, you can see on the second balcony. I'm not sure if that picture is included. But when they arrived at Amalienburg, she had a little pendant brooch thing on her coat neckline that had a little J, but it wasn't there earlier for this appearance, but it was when they arrived at the Amalienburg balcony.
But I must say that one thing that I noticed immediately as all the kids came out was how much Isabella looks like your grandmother. In the way she had styled herself and in the way
Daisy.
Yes.
Oh yeah, no, you see her talking in like documentaries, you're like, that's little Margrethe. She's a spitting image of her.
And it's nice to see how they have matured with it. Of course, it's natural. And you see Vincent and Josephine, they are not comfortable with it yet, but it will come.
It will come, yeah.
Josephine in particular seemed very uncomfortable.
I did notice that she was getting like a lot of hugs from her family. But sure, she'll get there. She'll get there.
And people, I could hear people standing around me saying that, what's she doing? And why is she acting like that? And she was clearly uncomfortable.
Probably scared. Yes, I mean,
only 174 people looking live at you.
People were, I mean, we were screaming like hell, and people were shooting confetti, and it was
a magical moment, actually. It's nice to thinking back on it.
And
lovely to share with you guys.
Yes, same. And as soon as the king came out on the balcony, it must have been arranged by some people, because there were standing behind us, they were shooting glittery confetti out of cannons or something.
Yeah.
So it was really, really nice.
Oh, I
love to see the after. I think I don't remember if it was on the day or the day after that the royal family put out a video on Instagram where they're showing the moment before he's stepping out, where he's like the family standing, he's taking a deep breath and look at one of the I think it's the master of ceremony, and then he walks out, and the water starts in his eyes. He becomes so emotional.
He takes a very deep breath.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to see them later, but they released some new photos today, on the day that we're recording.
Two of them are on this slide. Actually, all three of them are today.
Yeah, so because there's one photo where just as he's starting to walk towards the balcony, you can see how Christian is patting his shoulder.
Yeah.
Jacob, you're going to set me off again crying.
You can do it, Daddy.
And I, to me at least, it signifies that, you know, Christian is the only one in that room besides Frederick who has a somewhat idea of what it means.
Yeah.
And I think that Christian is old enough to have to really realize that next time I'm it's me.
And
it made me think about the story that I think was told by King Willem Alexander or Queen Maxima, that when they told their daughters about that the Queen Beatrix was abdicating and that they were going to become king and queen, little Amalia, and I think she was 10 or 12 or something, had been silent for a while, and then she looked at her father and asked, how long until it's my turn?
Yeah.
One of the most, this image is this kind of, in the past, the Danish royal family was Daisy and then everyone else, but seeing this really physical manifestation of a new royal family, that is what is most symbolic for me, because if Queen Daisy was here, she'd still be at the heart of this. But the fact she wasn't is really showing that there has been this change, and this is what the new royal family is now.
Yeah, it is. We have to get used to that. It's a beautiful sight, but yeah, you're still thinking of the queen, of course, Queen Margrethe, that she should be in the middle.
So I think Mary's outfit, I don't know why, but it reminds me of something very familiar that I've seen before, and it's so classy. It reminds me of something Princess Lillian of Sweden would wear, with a little scarf tucked like that.
Yes.
I knew we were expecting a full gown and the sash of the elephant, but I really do find nothing wrong about this, and I really like how elegant she looked all day.
Very. And I like her style with this. Either she has panels on her arms, or she has this long scarf. It has a touch of elegance and lightness in it.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Who's the Qatar? Is it Qatari?
Yes,
Sheikh Hamza. That's it.
Yeah,
something she would wear.
It is very like that long skirt silhouette with the scarf. It adds such kind of touch of class to something that I'm pretty sure she must have thought a lot about what this outfit would have looked like.
Definitely.
Given they only had two weeks to put it together.
Yes.
Still bear to a random black dress from her closet that she would have worn otherwise. So it's nice that they had the opportunity to play around a bit.
Yeah. I'm happy that they came in colors.
Yes. And again, Isabella's brooch. And then I was somewhat expecting that we might see not the elephant itself, but I was kind of hoping initially we'd see the colors of the elephant, because it is kind of the exhibition day and all of that. But I kind of like how Frederick was the main focus, and then everyone else was more or less casual.
Yes, it was dressed down, but still elegant. Because as you said, on that day, Princess Isabella and Josephine and Vincent became Knights of the Elephant.
Yes.
Of course, they will get it to use when they turn 18, but as per now, they are Knights of the Elephant.
Which is, I think, compared with that, and then Queen Mary, her kind of main order was Queen Margrethe's portrait order. And that was a very kind of personal touch, and also added a kind of official symbol to her otherwise very nice outfit.
Especially now that we know that in the future she will bear her husband's portrait, but in the Brazilian brilliant frame that the queen used to wear. It's huge diamonds. It's a jewelry in itself.
Wonderful.
I'm actually quite excited to see how her style will be. I don't think her style would change that much, but when, you know, when Queen Margrethe used to come to big galas, she has the big dress because she is the main person. I do hope that Queen Mary will adapt some of that grandeur, greatness in her gowns.
Yeah, so after the proclamation on the balcony, they went back inside and then what happened? Okay, did you guys manage to see any of that? Sorry, by this time I was on my way to the airport, so I can't comment.
Well,
on this.
We saw the coach and the top hats of the two standing in the back. Yeah. We couldn't see
people moving and waving their flags. That was it.
Because we were standing in front of the palace and they came behind us, but I think it was okay.
One of the things that I'd like to comment about this is that Queen Margrethe, she came in that famous gold coach that she uses for New Year's. And I would have thought, because she left in the car, that the new king and queen would have left in that too. But they left Christiansborg in the golden wedding coach, which is 50 years after that. And it's less kind of flashy than the gold coach.
I didn't even realize that was a gold coach. That's how focused I was on Queen Margaret. I was going, gold coach?
Yeah.
The coach was gold? Oh, okay.
It's because in the shape they look alike, but they don't look like the British coaches, like
it's not
because
that kind
it's
of
so
gold.
Big and grand. No. And now they, of course, choose to take the closed one because of the weather. But there is a slight difference in them, but in the designs. But otherwise, they do look alike. Of course, there's more gold on the golden carriage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But the interior is the original in this one that you see in the picture with the monograms. Wow. And yeah, it's very nice.
But I think the original is from 1892, I believe.
So. Yes, from the Golden Wedding, yes.
Okay, so they made their way back to Amalienborg Palace.
Yeah.
Where they did another
balcony appearance.
Do we have about is that the balcony?
No, that was the one. First, and the king came, then he was joined by Mary, and then the children.
Okay.
And you're very right. At when you look at Josephine at this picture, she has suddenly a brooch on her. In front of her neck.
Yeah, we didn't see that earlier.
Yeah. So I think maybe it might have been even a pendant necklace or something that she took out.
Of course, it could be hanging around her neck, yes, and then she took it out. Yeah,
so very kind of. And then I think this is where, because there's so many balcony pictures from the day, but the balcony at Christiansborg is stone and the background is very kind of dark, but in this one,
yeah,
it's I believe it's a metal balcony. And then behind that, you can see the amazing chandelier that they have in the room.
Yeah,
behind.
It's beautiful. I've seen it. I've been in when they, after they got married, they were restoring their mansion. And then for a period, it was open for public to go and see it before they moved in.
Oh, wow.
So go and see all the artworks, and of course there was no furniture in there, but you could walk around and see it. It was on a special guided tour. So that room is beautiful. The colors are, it's like a coffee latte. It's a coffee latte room in many different colors that is in that scale.
Oh, well, let's hope maybe they open it up for exhibitions going forward, because what's the living arrangements now in the palace? Because no one's moving, are they? It's not like the British when they move from Clarence House to Buckingham Palace. And
they will stay in this one. This is the Regent's mansion now. But of course, we are discussing what will happen with Fredensborg. Will the Queen move out to the Kancelli House, and then the King and the Queen will move into the big palace because it's used for these official galas and receiving. So we are waiting to see what the plans are.
Yes, okay. But in Copenhagen, the living arrangements will remain the same for now until, I mean, Frederick and Mary are here until the both of them are passed away, so they're going to continue to live here. And
yes, yeah.
Christian will get Queen Margrethe's palace eventually.
Yes,
when he
yes,
gets married.
In the same way that Frederick and Mary got the old palace of his grandparents, Frederick and Ingrid.
Yes.
Oh, well, they've got a good system in Denmark then, don't they?
Yeah, and then there's the guest palace and the museum's palace. And in the museum palace is also where Princess Benedicta has an apartment. Oh. And on the top of that mansion is also where both, at that time, Prince Frederick and Prince Joachim had apartments.
Wonderful.
So it's and very I think
even Queen Anne Marie also have a small apartment there.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Just
yeah,
a few
and then, so after this, after Amalienborg, about 6 p.m., we were promised the biggest fireworks display that Denmark had ever seen. I was sticking my head out the side of the plane, but I didn't see anything.
It was big. It was impressive. It was very big and very impressive.
Wonderful.
We were standing just in front of Tivoli, and those bangs, I mean, you got a shock.
Oh, wow.
The echoes.
I was catching it. I had left Casper and his friends to go to the train station. But I saw, because the train station is right by Tivoli, so I saw the beginning of the fireworks as well. And then I went inside and down to the tracks. And so I was inside and I was a few meters underground, but I could still feel the ground shake from the firework.
Yeah.
It must have been quite an experience. And I'm surprised that you both kind of managed to stay out in the cold all day and wait for that.
Well, I got sick. I was at home. I was at home for 3 days afterwards.
Oh gosh!
Because of the cold.
Yeah, it was like it got. My feet were obviously hurting from standing up, but it was so cold that I couldn't feel the pain after a while.
Yes, I chat with there's a Dutch royal journalist called Rick Evers, or how you pronounce it. And I saw him on the square. He passed me, and he just had a thin coat and no hat or beanie. And I wrote him, I had 7 layers on plus a coat, and you're not even wearing a hat. And I still got sick.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh dear.
It was quite cold.
And you guys both walked from Christianborg to Amalienborg to see the balcony and the flag-changing ceremony.
Not the balcony. There was no balcony scene when we came there.
Oh, well, so you missed that.
But the pictures of this balcony scene you see now is from Amalienborg. So when the king and the queen came back, they made a surprise appearance on the balcony.
Yes,
we came just before sunset, so we saw that the flags were up and were taken down, and then we waited for like an hour, and then came the handing over of the flags, the fans, you know the right word for them.
Yes, the standards.
Oh, okay.
Standards. Yes, thank you. Yeah, standards. That was also it was quite short, and it was fun to see.
Yes, but. The Queen, Queen Margrethe, she told in the series that she did about the royal palaces, and in the Amalienborg episode, she said that the night that on the day of her father's death, when the standards were transferred late in the night to her palace, that's when she really realized that. This is it. I'm queen now.
Yeah.
You see the kids inside of the palace as we were waiting outside. They were standing, they were waving to people and
hiding behind the curtains, jumping out. And they made fun of us.
No one came and closed all the drapes.
After that, we walked to Tivoli. Copenhagen is quite a small city, so it's easy to walk around.
Yes, and Casper's friend, the lovely Marie, she kept talking for hours about us having a hot chocolate, and I said, yes, let's have a hot chocolate, because I hadn't drunk or eaten anything since 9 o'clock, because
I
was afraid of the toilet arrangement, and we never had our hot chocolate.
Oh, no, do you know what? When I held back, when I got to, I went up onto the church to on the steps to see how many people were there. But there were three little coffee vans in front of the church, and I just looked at them and I went, "Those lads won't have to work for the rest of the year." But yeah, it was a magical day.
A beautiful day. It was definitely.
And what was everyone's takeaway moment from it? What are we looking forward to going forward?
Well, my takeaway, I think it was, of course, we were standing down there and the king came out and everybody was cheering. And this hooray, nine hoorays. But I also think watching it in the television after when the queen passed on the chair to her son, the king, and she said, "God save the king." That was a magical moment for me.
Yeah. Mine was definitely seeing Margrethe in that carriage, because to me that was like, it was like something out of a Disney film. And actually I did show you guys my souvenir that I have, you know, we all have to get a souvenir. I got a carriage keyring, so I will always remember that little moment.
Yes. My takeaway is that, as I've told you before, I do believe that, you know, a monarch should be, you wear a crown for life. But as my experience on this day made me realize that, I mean, the old queen, she did what she had to do to secure the monarchy. She did what she had to do that was best for the monarchy, and I really respect that. And also, as I heard someone say on one of the Danish royal podcasts, that she had never been a royalist. She has always been a Margrethe-ist.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's leaning towards being a royalist.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think that's a big takeaway from this event, was the fact that it wasn't, Margrethe still alive. So it wasn't a sad event. It was actually quite joyous.
I'm a bit surprised about how much I've taken to the new king. Because I've always felt that he was a bit too informal. But he seems like a really, really nice guy that takes his office seriously. And especially reading his, can we call it his manifesto that was released
a
few days ago? And especially what he said about, you know, about Denmark and his goals as a king and his views on religion, which means a lot to me as a Christian. There's a lot more depth to him than I had imagined.
Sad. What's your opinions?
I think it was certainly, like you said, that I would much rather, like Jacob, I did think that Queen Margrethe would make it to the end. But I do like this kind of way of handing over, in which you could celebrate the new king and Queen Margrethe's life without the sadness of her death kind of clouding everything. If this had been kind of an occasion in all black and very sudden, even more sudden than it was for the abdication, it would have been such a shock and people wouldn't have time to process it. But the past 2 weeks, even though people were crying that it wasn't long enough, it did give people a lot of time to get to terms with the fact, and seeing it physically manifest in this way was such kind of a refreshing take from the handover we saw just 2 years ago in the UK after the Queen's death, and how difficult of a transition that was to have all the kind of official ceremonies in addition to the mourning stuff, and how that just stretched so long and it clouded the two together, where it was harder to distinguish the kind of accession with the death, whereas this thing is such a kind of clear distinction where you can mark these ceremonies and have this process, while Queen Margrethe's popularity and her kind of reign is still there to guide the new king and queen.
Yeah, it's a nice atmosphere. It's a different vibe.
Different vibe.
Yeah.
But of course, as we all know, she only did it to save the monarchy from and the new King Happy Pants.
Yes, and all of 2 seconds watching Mary and Frederick together. Yeah. I think we can all see that that was just nasty gossip.
I call BS.
BS indeed.
Yes.
No, it's, I mean, I've said for a couple of years that I love Queen Margrethe, but Frederick and Mary have been ready to take on the throne. And the fact that she saw this and decided that it's, there's no point in trying to delay it. And it's good that she has some time to kind of focus on herself and take it easier. Because not just kind of the responsibility of being sovereign, but handing over power itself is such a difficult thing. And especially after 52 years, it's going to be a huge change for Queen Margrethe. But she seems very resigned to the fact, and she's happy with the that she's done.
Yeah, and I think that leads nicely into this slide, because as much as we were like, oh no, she's gone, oh, we miss her, she was back in a few days. Like, she hasn't gone.
This is the next day, actually. They were back at Christiansborg.
Yeah, she retired. What's she doing here?
Yeah, they went the day after to the, like, a reception in the, what do you say, the government?
Parliament, wasn't it?
The Parliament, yes. And she was a little, she knew she was going to sit on the second row, but should I sit in the middle or should I sit here? Or she was a little confused, and then a man helped her.
Yeah, but so it was just as much as we were celebrating her life and her reign, she hasn't gone anywhere just yet. So that's quite nice.
No. And we will see her for other things too. And here the Prime Minister started to, actually the Chairman of the Parliament, he started to have a speech to thank the Queen and to welcome the King, and the same did the Prime Minister. And then she was handed over the King's note, so she was saying thank you. And after that, they had a reception. But it was nice to see when they arrived. It was in a snowstorm almost, compared to the weather the day before. That was nice, but we woke up to a lot of snow that Monday. Yeah. And but no courtesy from the Queen anymore.
No.
Mary's famous courtesies are gone.
But
yeah.
So I found it relatively quite informal that there were no courtesies all around. So there was no one courtesied to Daisy, but no one courtesied to Frederick and Mary either.
No, and not even Benedicta. She has a certain position of her age, so she don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the politicians courtesied to the King and the Queen. But as someone wrote on Instagram, I think, the only adult member of the royal family now that has to curtsy to, well, basically everyone else is poor Marie. So yeah. I'm sure that she'll she's glad. Lucky. I'm sure she's glad that she's away in Washington.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it would be a nice workout for her.
I don't think she needs it. She looks quite fit already.
Yes. And then today, right before we start recording, and the last slide, you can see that they're attending a service in Aarhus.
Yes, which is the second biggest city in Denmark, and it's part of it's part of Denmark where you can say Copenhagen is on an island, then the mainland is much bigger. Mm. Where Aarhus is.
In English, it's called Jutland.
Jutland, and yeah. Thank you.
Jutland.
And that's where they had
where they have Marcellisborg Castle.
Yeah, their own private castle, yes. And they also arrived in a snowstorm here.
Yeah, she really, like, you know, putting on the Scandinavian aesthetic here, guys, you know.
Yeah.
Furs, snow.
But first came, actually, they also invited Count Ingolf and Countess Susie here. So I think that was a very nice gesture. And they came in a car with a number plate with a crown on, the same way as the royal family did. So that was nice.
Yeah. And the Count, who is the first cousin of the Queen, and he would have been king if not for the change of constitution in 1953. But he said that he was one of the few people who was told before the Queen's speech that she would be abdicating.
Yes, she had taken contact to her cousin and told that she would abdicate. I think that's also a very nice gesture of her. It's like they have become a little more closer, these in here in their olderhood.
Yes.
Because they also they make sure that whenever they are doing something of importance, like in Jutland or other places, they are always inviting them because they live in Jutland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one way to get the French tiara back.
And one fun thing is that I saw on Instagram a guy I follow who is friend with the Robsenborg sisters, Ingolf's. That they were also on the palace square during the proclamation.
Oh.
So in another alternative reality, one of them would have been up on the balcony, but now they were down in the square, and I think they looked quite happy to be down there.
Mm.
Yeah,
definitely. Now it's but a very
if you go with the fashion in front of this church, we see actually that Josephine is wearing one of her mother's jackets.
I read it was Prada.
The pink one, yeah, that she has been wearing. I like that the daughters use the same clothes like this, that they are, using it also.
Yes.
And something else about the fashions. I don't know if you call it fashions when it comes to the priests, but a lot of the several of the robes worn by the bishops have been made by the Queen Margrethe.
It's also the one we see in the picture here under the king's arm. It's also embroidered by the queen, and the green is like damask silk. So she put her take on the church outfits.
Yes. Was she the head of the Church of Denmark, or is that only in Norway?
I think the king is the head of the church.
Or something.
Sorry, what, Jacob?
I've read somewhere that it's called that she's the supreme protector of the church or something.
Oh, interesting.
Something like that, yes. And now it's the king.
Yeah. And that differs a little from, for instance, in Sweden, up until the separation of church and state, which was about 20 years ago, where the king, he was the head of the church. Well, the formal head of the church.
That's also why they were so afraid that he didn't use the word God in his slogan. But
I was wondering if kind of there's going to be a separate kind of ceremony or something to hand over, signify, because they didn't really release any of that in what they stated that he passed on as the head of the church.
Yeah, so
we got some good jewels from Mary today. There was a nice pair of earrings and a diamond brooch that she inherited from her father-in-law, so
talking about her father-in-law Prince Henrik, the crown prince used the cufflinks at proclamations that he had inherited from his grandfather, and I don't know if he's wearing them today as well, but It's nice to have a little focus on male bling.
Yeah, male says what? Yes. But as the queen said, she gave him for his 18 years birthday a little of that and a little of that and something from his grandfather.
And I think he wore the buttons to his shirt that he wore for his 18th birthday banquet was also buttons that he had inherited from his grandfather.
Yes, I think we can end it here. So thank you so much, Jacob, Casper, and Sam for talking to us today. And I just love that we're able to kind of give your own perspective of being there on such a historic day.
Yeah, when's the next one?
Yeah. When?
I'll be better prepared.
It could be Norway, who knows?
Yeah.
Honestly,
how cold is Norway?